Hello and welcome to episode 228 of the IABC International Podcast. My name's Dan Gold, and on this episode, Jeff Peaker joins me to talk about how Willis Towers Watson won an IABC Gold Quill Award for launching a modern and competitive benefits and retirement program at Thomson Reuters Canada.
We had a partnership between Willis Towers Watson and Thomson Reuters' own internal people, and their main supplier was Sun Life for the administration of their benefits. So we worked together on regular calls to make sure everybody was doing the right thing at the right time in the right way, according to the plan that we helped Thomson Reuters develop.
The IABC Academy has launched a new online course. It's called Enhancing Organizational Reputation, and it is a must for communication leaders who want to learn how to protect a strong business reputation. Not only will you learn how to identify the forces that could damage your organization's reputation, you will learn that a positive and lasting reputation is an organization's most important asset. To find out more about the course, there is a link in the notes of this episode. Now on to our feature interview. Yes, it's Gold Quill season. Yes, I am honoured once again to have a guest on the IABC International Podcast. Today, I have Jeff Peaker with me. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dan. Thanks. Nice to meet you.
It's my sincere honor to connect with you. We were speaking just now. You are located currently in Toronto, in Ontario. For those of you who aren't geographically aware of the layout of Canada, it feels just like you're round the corner in Canadian terms, but in reality terms, you're about you're hours away from here. Why do people have this concept that it's really quick to get across Canada? I don't understand that.
Must be because all us Canadians are so friendly. We're just like neighbors to each other.
It's the sense of neighborly citizenship. That is probably it.
Yes.
Congratulations on the Gold Quill Award. That's the first thing I'd like to say.
Oh, thank you.
As I understand it, Thomson Reuters Canada introduced changes to its total rewards elements, including a new retirement program, a new group benefits program, and a new benefits administration process.
Yes.
These changes affected different employee groups in unique ways and required a well-thought-out communication and change management plan to facilitate a successful launch and sustained employee engagement. This sounds like a very big job that needs to be communicated.
It's a huge job because there are so many employees in different groups, and the nature of the changes might not be considered complex if taken one at a time, but when you look at people's pensions and benefits and how they access this, it might be a little bit daunting without the proper communication and change management approach. I mean, even just pensions themselves, nobody really knows what to expect in their pension plan. They just assume they're going to have something and that the company's going to help somehow. And here we are changing the program to make it more competitive and harmonized and, you know, all these great reasons that Thomson Reuters wanted to do. But it wasn't necessarily top of mind. So there was a lot of education that needed to be done as part of this process. And that's just pensions. You know, benefits is a much different. By benefits, I mean health and group benefits, you know, your healthcare, your dental, your vision, your other wellness type things. So again, it's not something that people think of all the time. And when there's a change, there's a lot of education that needs to be done at the same time.
So the work that was done for Thomson Reuters Canada, was that managed by Willis Towers Watson?
Yes. Well, we had a partnership between Willis Towers Watson and Thomson Reuters' own internal people. And their main supplier was Sun Life for the administration of their benefits. So we worked together on regular calls to make sure everybody was doing the right thing at the right time in the right way, according to the plan that we helped Thomson Reuters develop.
When you look at a period of change, there's got to be discomfort. There's got to be uncertainty. How do you manage the communication to ensure that people are engaged, that they feel comfortable, and they feel valued?
That's a very good question, Ed. So before we even got to the communication plan itself, we our benefits group and our retirement consultants worked with Thomson Reuters to design the programs that they have. And to do that, we employed an employee listening strategy, which included survey feedback, some local focus groups or anecdotal information to better understand what the employees have and what they want and need. And then once the programs were designed, we were able to use our communication strategy to reflect on that and say, hey, you wanted a more modern program. Well, here's what we're doing about that. And you wanted something more competitive or something where the employer has a greater match. You know, whatever these issues were, we were able to link back to that need. And it goes back to that, who was it, Kurt Lewin? I can't even remember who it was who has their unfreeze, change, refreeze model that basically says in the unfreeze stage, you're creating a need for a change. So the need was, hey, we could be more competitive. You know, we're creating some sort of dissatisfaction with the status quo. And once employees understand or recognize that things could be better, you know, they've melted a little bit. That's what he means by unfreeze. And then when we were ready to implement the change or at least announce it, that's the freeze. We say, hey, we have this great program. It's competitive, it's flexible, you know, and all the key messages that we had around that. And then we strive to reinforce that message with tangible examples between the program itself and just some of the guiding principles we had around open and honest communication, you know, to be visible and to explain things in easy to understand language and all that kind of thing. And then the third stage was refreeze. So now that employees understand what's happening, how can we make sure they continue to buy in? So once it's launched, the company has a bunch of communication activities scheduled throughout the year that just reinforce that, hey, this is a great plan. Hey, don't forget to use your massage benefits or, you know, whatever it is that that they want to promote throughout the year. So that's a high level view of the change management process in, I'll say, simple terms that we applied to this.
When it comes to measuring the effectiveness of the campaign, as Gold Quill Awards are focused on measuring real life outcomes, how did you go about that?
That's an excellent point, because we did focus on outcomes as opposed to outputs. With outputs, it's so easy to say, oh yeah, we had 50 emails and zero typos on newsletters, but that's meaningless unless there's a change in behavior. And so the outputs that we measured included, for example, on the retirement side, we wanted people to actively change their contribution amount to their pension plan, because with the way the new plan worked, there was a matching component that was being improved. And in Canada, the laws are, if there are deductions taken from payroll, employees have to actively consent to an increased deduction. So we wanted 20% of plan members to actively increase their pension amount. And 29% did. So that's a real tangible outcome. And even though some might argue, oh, that just means the company is paying more. Well, yeah, it is paying more, but it's a great benefit. And these things will lead to other outcomes that we haven't measured yet because it's still fairly early in the process. But our studies show that when people are satisfied with their pension and benefits and they recognize their employer as a valuable partner, employee engagement goes up, employee turnover goes down, productivity increases. So all those things will continue to be measured over time. And it will be, frankly, it's difficult to pinpoint productivity increases on a change in pension, but we, in a direct way, but we do know that there is indeed an impact. We've had there were other goals too. For example, on the benefits side, there were a large group that didn't name their beneficiary. So beneficiary is the person who receives the benefit if the employee passes away. And if it's not designated, then it goes to the estate. And meanwhile, people may have had changes in marriage or new children or whatever it is. And they named their beneficiary when they started with the company a dozen years ago, but didn't keep it up to date. So we had a goal of 20% reduction in benefits program members without designated beneficiaries. And then that was achieved. There was a 22% reduction. So the client was very pleased with that. And there were several other measurable goals, but it was definitely based on outcomes and not outputs. That's a very important distinction for people to understand.
As we are communication professionals, one of the most important things that we apply to our world as communicators or simply as professionals is our ongoing professional development and learning. When it comes to takeaways or lessons that you've learned or something that you instigated that worked really well that you would do again, or some part of activation that didn't necessarily perform as well as you'd hoped, what lessons did you learn?
The biggest lesson is probably around strong project management and trusting your partners. So as I mentioned before, we were three companies, Sun Life, Thomson Reuters, and Willis Towers Watson. We had those guiding principles of open and honest communication, not just with the employees, but with ourselves as the project management team. So if there was going to be an issue, a technology issue, for example, and there was one at one point, there was a real danger that something called single sign-on wasn't going to happen at the right time. And that just gives people the convenience of going onto the regular site and dealing with all their pension and benefit issues. This was identified very early as, I'll call it yellow in a red, yellow, green kind of project management thing. And the appropriate action was able to be taken in time. But just in case it wasn't, we did have contingency plans in place with workarounds on a temporary basis of how to get people signed up on time in an easy and convenient way. And it was because of that strong working relationship between the three groups, that open, honest communication, and the, I'll call it the thoughtful creativity of everyone involved to first, you know, think of, well, identify the problem, think of a contingency plan and have a parallel solution just in case this technology issue wouldn't have been ready. So yeah, that's the biggest, learning is a big word. We try to do this with all our projects, but it was extremely important to the success. Solid project management and open, honest communication with the parties.
Jeff, from the lessons that you've learned from submitting a Gold Quill Award, you must have had a lot of materials when it came to the planning, the execution, and the measurement stages of the project. What advice would you have for other people considering submitting for a Gold Quill Award?
My number one piece of advice is to refer to the IABC's Midas Touch document. Now, that document might be 30 pages or so for a submission that's only 4 pages long, but it has some really, really good advice. And if the applicant follows the instructions to a T, assuming that, you know, there's a great work product and strong project management and good theory and all that kind of stuff happening, that should really help. You know, I'm aware of some other organizations who've applied for Gold Quill Awards that have had, in my opinion, some really neat projects, but they failed to stick to the instructions. And the instructions are very specific with the number of pages you have and what to include, you know, the types of measurement and the budget and all these kind of things. And if something's omitted, marks are deducted. In fact, I find that Midas Touch document a really good guide, even if somebody isn't applying for a Gold Quill Award. Just at the outset of a project, if the project manager or the strategist looks through that document and gets tips on, you know, setting the objectives and understanding the audience and thinking about what the measurable goals are and that whole discussion we had about outcomes versus outputs. If they have that in mind before even putting pen to paper, already that's a win because then the strategist has a nice framework in mind. And then if that person, of course, decides to apply for a Gold Quill Award, you know, all the steps are there in a thoughtful and effective manner. So that's my number one tip, is using the IBC's Midas Touch guide as their guide.
Well, Jeff, congratulations on the recognition for this project.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me here on the IABC International podcast. I often offer the opportunity for our listeners to create connections through this very production. And if you're willing, is there a way that people could get in touch with you?
Sure. Actually, LinkedIn is always good. Jeff Pekar, P-E-K-A-R, on LinkedIn. My employer is Willis Towers Watson. I believe it or not, there are a couple of other Jeff Pekars out there in the LinkedIn world.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll do you a deal. Once we're through the other side of the global pandemic, I'm coming all the way, and I emphasize all the way, to Ontario, and I will come and share a coffee with you, even if handshakes aren't allowed.
I look forward to it, Dan. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. If you share this on social media, we won't only be grateful, but a little brightness and light will fill my heart. Music is from Joachim Karud, and this is an IABC production.